오늘 우리에게 주시는 하나님의 말씀은
The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 4 verses 14 to 20. It is page 323 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for gifts, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Their fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. He grew up under the care of Eli the priest. Eli also had two grown-up sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were also priests. They probably gave sacrifice every day at the tent of meeting with the offerings that people brought. Given what they did, they should have had more close relationship with God than anyone. On the surface, they were priest sons of a priest father. Furthermore, their father Eli was a judge. A judge was the most powerful man commanding legislative, judicial, and executive power of a particular area. From the outside, they were a family that others understandably would have envied. But 1 Samuel 2 verse 12 testifies as to how God saw them. Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. That they were scoundrels meant that they weren't just mediocre people, but that they had the worst attitude of a lout with evil intentions. From the outside, they were priests. But inside, they were thugs. The reason that they lived such a life was because they did not know Jehovah God. They probably would have heard about God innumerable times from their father Eli. And they would have mentioned God so many times as they gave sacrifices, but they did not know God. And this drove their lives to a point that could not be reversed. A life without God is like a running car which does not have a brake or a steering wheel. According to Leviticus, when the people of Israel gave a peace offering for the sake of thanksgiving and sharing, the priest's portion of the offerings that were brought was the right upper part of the thigh and the chest area. But they did not do this. When the meat which was given as the offering for the peace offering was stewed in a big pot, they believed that whatever would be caught and brought up by the hook was theirs. And this was not all. At times they wanted roasted meat, so they made people to bring raw meat to them before being stewed. And the first thing that you had to do when you gave a peace offering was to burn the fat and offer its aroma as an offering to God. But they gave priority to their greed before giving priority to God. And this is how God evaluated the kind of life they lived. And this is from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 17. The sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. Hophni and Phinehas did not acknowledge that their lives had intimate relationship with God.
하나님과 밀접한 관련이 있다는 것.
This made their lives worthless, and not only that, this made them commit the sin of invalidating the worship of other people. Now it is really a beautiful thing to serve so that other people's worship could be true worship as much as one makes one's worship a true worship. If Hophni and Phinehas were evil men who interfered with other people's worship, David sublimated other people's actions as act of worship. The chapter 23 of 2 Samuel tells us of 37 generals who contributed to the raising up of Israel by David. And in it, there is a story about three generals, Abishai, Benaiah, and one other general whose name is not known. Now, this is an episode from the time that David was being pursued by King Saul. When David was in the cave of Adullam, he suddenly had this craving to drink from the well from his hometown. So he asked, "Who will draw me the water from the well next to the gate of Bethlehem so that I can drink it?" According to biblical archaeologists, the water near Adullam, where David had camped, was not very good, but the well next to the gate of Bethlehem was deep, and it gave a clear and cool water. Now David, who was from Bethlehem, drank this water from his childhood, but it was not so easy to draw that water and bring it to where he was. From Adullam to Bethlehem, it was no less than 20 kilometers. And furthermore, at that time, the army of Philistines had camped there. But the three generals, when they heard David speak, they headed to Bethlehem. In order for them to draw water and bring it back, they had to walk 40 kilometers to and back from Bethlehem, to go through the enemy camp, and then penetrate the camp again to get back. But they at last got the water and offered it to David. Now 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 16 to 17 testify about what David then did. So the three mighty warriors broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, carried it back to David, but he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. "Far be from me, Lord, to do this," he said. "Is it not the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives?" And David would not drink it. Such were the exploits of the three mighty warriors. David said he wanted a drink from the well water, because of his memories and out of nostalgia. But when he actually saw the water, he could not drink it, because it was not just water, it was like the life of these three generals. And so he offered the water to God. When wine is poured on top of an offering, it is known as drink offering. David treated the well water from Bethlehem not as just water, but as an offering to God, and gave recognition to the actions of these three generals as being directed towards God rather than to himself, their leader. In today's text too, Apostle Paul is sublimating the gift, a donation, that the Church of Philippi had given as an offering made to God. The book of Philippi is a letter of thanks about the gift which was sent through Epaphroditus while Apostle Paul was shut up in Roman prison. If I were to tell you in greater detail, it was like this. Epaphroditus, who brought the gift to Apostle Paul, ended up getting sick. Now, even today, it is not easy to travel through Southeast Asia or Africa. You can get seriously sick from endemic disease or viral infection, and it is even possible even to lose your life. It was probably far worse 2,000 years ago, and this was the same for Epaphroditus. The situation appears to have been so bad as having to prepare for his funeral. But even in that situation, when he heard that the Philippi church was worried about him, it worried him. Paul worried about Epaphroditus and the Philippi church. And the Philippi church worried about Paul and Epaphroditus. But God had mercy on Epaphroditus and made him recover. So Apostle Paul wanted Epaphroditus to return to Philippi and let them know that he had recovered. And the book of Philippi is what Paul sent with him. Apostle Paul was someone who had learned how to be content, whether he was in lack or in abundance. This contentment was not a contentment that the Stoics talked about, a contentment that comes from completely excluding one's desires or emotions, a contentment that a man manufactures within himself. For Paul, contentment was produced by trusting the person who worked with strength in him. Therefore, Apostle Paul learned the secret of not being arrogant or feeling small, whether he was in full or he was full or hungry, whether he had abundance or was in poverty. But this did not mean that he was not grateful to Philippi Church, which had sent gift through Epaphroditus. Verse 14 of today's text testifies as follows. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Now, troubles originally mean something that presses on from all sides, or something that presses down on with pressure. Because Paul was actually in Roman prison, prison life probably pressed on him from all sides, and financial poverty and misunderstandings of people probably pressed down on him. And the gift from Philippi Church probably felt to him like an encouragement from God. When Paul met the resurrected Lord on his way to Damascus and became his apostle, what had happened to him was probably far more traumatic than what we imagine them to be. The first thing that probably happened to Paul was being cut off from his family. And from other Jews, he would have been branded as a proselyte, a traitor. And from the Pharisees, he probably received a calling or title of shame and dishonor. In fact, Paul did not receive proper recognition from most Christians because he was not one of the 12 disciples of Jesus while Jesus was doing his public ministry. In this context, the Church of Philippi was a great consolation to him at this time. In Greek, to share comes from the word suinkoneo, which means to share, to commune with. To Paul, the people of Philippi Church were not just We're not just sponsors or supporters, but we're fellow members of the church, a family. The verse 15 testifies as follows. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. Now, Paul says that when he left for Macedonia, where Philippi was located, was the early days of the gospel. But this does not mean that he began his work of delivering the gospel from that time. The time that Paul visited Philippi was during his second mission trip, and before that there was the first mission trip, and he had taught at Church of Antioch 1 year preceding that. And of course, he worked for the gospel prior to that, but the reason that he says that his works in Macedonia is the early beginning of the gospel was because Philippi was the first city he went to in Macedonia, and starting from there, he had gone on to Thessalonica and as far as Berea. Now, the words giving and receiving used in verse 15 are often used in commercial transactions. What is given are objects, and what is received is a receipt. It means that Paul has received donations from the Philippi church, and he has given a receipt for it. Now, there are words that have commercial meaning in verse 18 as well. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. That I have received full payment means that I have signed a receipt confirming I have well received everything. And one could think whether it is acceptable to use this kind of commercial terms like this in the Bible, but Jesus too used commercial terms often. Now, people who did good works wanted to brag about them and tooted their horns in temples or in the streets. And people who prayed wanted to show off to other people, so they prayed at temples and at street corners. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 6 that such people have already received their rewards. The literal meaning of what he said was they already received their receipts. In other words, no matter how much good works they do and how many prayers they pray, they have already received their receipt from God, and there is nothing for God to repay or to respond. I've mentioned that the book of Philippi was the receipt for the gift, the donation that the church of Philippi had sent. And Paul is using a precise word to describe that. The more spiritual a person is, he or she should be strict about finances. And a person who is pure spiritually is transparent financially. And the more a person or an institution is transparent as finances, the more such person or the institution can maintain its spiritual purity and clarity. Now, verse 16 continues to testify as follows. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. The Apostle Paul had a rule of doing mission out of his own money. So Paul's mission field that came after Philippi was Thessalonica. And he preached the gospel there for about 3 months. And later, he recorded the following in a letter to the Thessalonican church. This is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. Now, Thessalonica was the capital of Macedonia. Therefore, it was more rich than Philippi, much more rich than Philippi. But Paul did not receive any donation from the Church of Thessalonica. He did hard work, hard labor day and night, and earned money for his mission work, and he probably preached in between as much as time allowed. After he preached in Thessalonica, he worked in Corinth. After going through Berea, Athens, at Corinth, Paul met the Aquila couple and made his living by making tents and spread the gospel. He said that it was his reward not to enjoy the entitlements that a person who delivers the gospel should, and not exercising his entitlements. Now, the Corinth was the capital of the Achaia region and was very wealthy, but Paul did not receive any kind of donation from that city while he was at that city as well. At the time, there were traveling Bible teachers who delivered the gospel to wealthy cities like Thessalonica and Corinth, and while they preached the gospel, they were given lodging and received fares for the travel to the next city. And on top of that, there were instances where the Stoic philosophers or Epicureans collected money, promising to teach people wise ways of living or the ways to live a successful life. If Paul had received payments or donations in such cities, the gospel that Paul preached may have been treated as just one of the philosophies of life being taught by traveling teachers. But Paul, in order not to have the gospel treated that way, and in order to deliver the message that the gospel is a grace that God gives to men, he did not receive any help. But the Philippite church gave gifts twice during the 3 months that Paul was in Thessalonica, once when he was in prison of Rome through Epaphroditus, a total of 3 times. Now, the Church of Philippi was a new church that had received gospel not too long ago, and Philippi was not a city which was richer than Thessalonica or Corinth, but even so, the reason the Church of Philippi was able to support Paul with such pure heart was because they believed that it was the special leading of God for the Philippi church for God to have blocked Paul twice when he tried to go to Asia Minor. That God opened the heart of Lydia, and that Paul was able to heal the girl possessed by an evil spirit into a fortune, that the doors of Philippi prison being opened, and the jailer and his family becoming baptized through it, that all these things were the mysterious works of God, and they knew this very well. So, and because of their belief and their acceptance of these things as mysterious works of God, it appears that they sincerely wanted God to do the things he did for them through Paul, through their offerings, as small as they were, for other people. That is very similar to the reasons that we have come to offer our worship at this place and serving with our bodies and minds and with our goods. 8 years ago, God made the senior leaders of the 100th anniversary council to visit Reverend Izatar, who had already made up his mind not to engage in general pastoral works, no less than twice, to change his mind, so that 100th anniversary Memorial Church could be founded and guided up to today. It is similar to our hope that through our serving, God's mysterious works will unfold at Yangwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery, the Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial Building, the Korean Church, and the Korean Society. In verse 17, Paul testifies about the reason that he accepted the gifts that the church of Philippi had sent. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. In verse 17, what Paul goes on to say is that I'm not actually seeking a gift from you, but I want to make a lot of profit with what you have given so they could be deposited into your accounts. Now, Paul is the person who is receiving the help, but he is wishing that it would benefit Philippi, which had given the gifts, even more. And Jesus also said that to give is more blessed than to receive. Now, this is something that happened in the summer of 2006 while I was working in Geneva. I attended an alumni meeting of my theological seminary, and a younger pastor, who was a younger classman and was pastoring in Göttingen, asked whether I could come as a speaker at a retreat which was to be held at his church. He said that the time and the place was not yet fixed. So I had actually met him at that meeting for the first time, so I asked, "You don't know me well, and how can you trust me to come and speak at the retreat?" And he said it would be good if I would just come. So, and I was grateful that he would put trust in me, whom he had never met before, so I said I would go. And then I didn't hear from him, and I thought maybe another speaker had been engaged to speak. But the following year, in early June, I got a call saying, "You didn't forget, did you?" And the retreat was scheduled for the 2nd through the 4th of August. And it happened so that I didn't have schedules. My schedule was open for only those days. At the time, I was very busy because my mind was preoccupied with coming back to Korea in September. But because I had to keep a promise, I said I would go. Now, he then said that his church only had 30 to 40 adults attending and could not afford to pay a speaker's fee. So I said I would go if they would just reimburse me for the airline ticket. And in order to save money on the ticket, I took the flight that left 6:30 in the morning. Now, during the entire retreat, there was a great joy for me. It was a wonderful opportunity for me to look back on the 6 years of my work. Now, when I left for Geneva, I received the fee for the airline ticket, but I could not receive it. Because during the retreat, I saw the bag that my alumni pastor was carrying. It was very worn and had tears at places. There was no way that I would be carrying such a bag if it were me, so I gave him the money for him to buy a bag. Now, that summer, I also attended a meeting of the missionaries who worked in Eastern European countries. I met a missionary who had attended the meeting with his wife and two sons, one of whom was in elementary school and the other in junior high. Now, the eyeglasses of the younger son had many cracks in it. Now, I could feel the regrets of his parents who were not able to take care of it. It was their child's eyeglasses, not their own. So I gave a little help, saying that it would be great if it could be used to get a new pair of glasses for his son. And later, I got a mail from the missionary saying that they added a bit more money and got a new pair of glasses for both of their sons, and that they would pray for me each time they see the eyeglasses. So rather than the pastors who considered the tear showing up in their bags and cracks showing up in eyeglasses as blessings and received my help, I felt my fruits becoming more abundant. What Paul thought of as the gift a Philippi church has sent is testified by verse 18. "I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God." Now Paul says that he's amply supplied by the gifts that he received from Epaphroditus. It means he is exceedingly grateful. Now in reality, probably wasn't the case that he had abundance or had things to spare. Furthermore, he is in prison. But even so, he says that he has a lot, that there is leftover after filling his needs. Now these are the very words from a person who has learned to be content, who has learned the secret of being content, whether he's in abundance or in lack. And in addition, he says that the gift of the Philippi church is a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice to God, which is pleasing to God. In the Old Testament, when an offering is given, in most cases they are burnt, and their aromas are offered to God. So the declaration which is made as a constant refrain in describing the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the peace offering is that they are fragrant aromas to God. The faith of Apostle Paul and the Philippi church which tried to serve Paul and his ministry. And the faith of Paul which elevated their gifts as offerings made to God are both very precious. Our lives are all connected to faith. That is why the goal of faith of our church is making worship daily life and making daily life a worship. In worship, we are to be conscious of God, and in our daily lives, we are to be conscious of God. It is those who cultivate themselves as fragrant offerings who are living lives that please God. And those who cultivate themselves as a bunch of greedy desires without any fragrance is to grieve God. Of course, there are people like Hophni and Phinehas who do not serve God as God, who make their lives into a den of thieves, thinking that all the eyes can see is all there is to it, and cause God a great anger. Today, too, in the world, there are people who please God, people who grieve God, and people who cause God anger. They're all mixed up together in life. It appears as if those who make their lives fragrant and please God are in the minority. But even today, the work of God unfolds most mysteriously through such people. The blessing of God in living a life which pleases Him. You will never know it unless you live it. If we were to enjoy such blessing, we will become the churches of Philippi for this age. Let us pray. Father God, Hophni and Phinehas were priests who had a priest for a father, and yet, while there were priests who interceded between God and people on the outside, there were evil men who did not know God inside. On the outside, there were people who were most close to sacrifice, but their insides were furthest from sacrifice. They were not close to God whom they should have been close to, but were close to material things. And therefore, they not only interfered with offerings of other people, but in their lives as atheists who had nothing to do with offering their lives as offerings to God. David and Paul were mature people of God who treated other people's lives and services as precious and knew how to sublimate them as worship. We pray, we hope that we will be able to follow after Paul and David as our models, and that we will be able to live lives that please you by offering ourselves as living sacrifice. May our lives not give off a stench or be void of fragrance, but may they give off fragrance of Jesus, fragrance of truth and the gospel, fragrance of eternal life. We thank God who gave unfathomable grace of changing the course of Paul's mission in order to establish a church at Philippi, opening the hearts of Lydia, healing the girl who told fortune possessed by an evil spirit, and opening the heart of the jailer. Do we thank God that God who has done these things have also granted innumerable works of grace in order to raise up our lives as temples. May we all become fragrant offerings to God and become yet another pathway of God which opens the hearts of others, the Church of Philippi, for this church, this age. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.